I want to start with just a moment of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Lord, I just pray that above all, this would be your story, and that these would be your words, and that I would say no more or no less than what you would have me say. Lord, bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. So I'll start with the question, can you trust me? About 10 years ago, when I was getting ready to have my second hip replacement, John Yancey shared this verse with me. And it's been one that I've constantly used as I've just walked through life. And it says, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord. Some of the things I'm going to talk about, if we stopped at certain points, we would have despaired. We would have given up. We would have said, I'm done. But that's not where our hope is. And that's what I hope to share with you today. Indiana Jones once said that it's not the years, honey, it's the mileage. And certainly that's the way my body feels. We've decided that we actually think I'm a dog and that I'm actually aging in dog years. And so I'm actually like 347 is what we're guessing at this point, because that's the way it feels. I've always been kind of an old soul. I like antiques. I like old music. I like old cars, mainly because my body is an antique. I have more in common with someone that's 80 years old than I do with someone my own age. And so it puts us in a rather unique position. Just to give you a quick view of what my life has been like up until now, if you don't know me, at 15 I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. At 17 I had surgery for a perforated ulcer to save my life. By 19 I'd had my first of three hip replacements. I have osteopenia, high blood pressure, heart disease, kidney stones. I have broken toes. I've also had skin cancer removed. And I'm 45 years old. When I told that to someone, he said, move over, Job. There's a new kid in town. And that's certainly how it's felt some days. And so there, to say that my health has been a struggle might be the understatement of the year. But this new road that God put us on, we never expected. And we never saw coming. And it changed everything drastically. Many of you know, about 3 years ago, my health really started to decline. I started having trouble that I'd never had before. And at first it was small and simple and we didn't notice it, but it began to build. It got to the point where I lost the ability to write. I couldn't type. Getting dressed in the morning was a 40-minute ordeal. Many times my wife would have to button my shirt or put on my socks and shoes. I stopped shaving because I couldn't control the razor. And so I wasn't growing a goatee to look cool. It's because I just couldn't shave anymore. To comb my hair was a 10-minute ordeal. I lost my bus license because they didn't trust me to drive. And I stopped driving because my wife certainly didn't trust me to drive because I couldn't react in time. And so all of this was going on, and we didn't have any answers. So just about this time 2 years ago, it took every amount of energy just to get through the day. In fact, a couple years ago, I almost had to step away totally from work because I couldn't work anymore. I would go to work, I would get there, make it through the day somehow, go home and collapse every night, and I would stay in bed. My wife would tell you that I got home Friday night and I would get in the bed and I might get out by Monday morning. But beyond that, there wasn't anything else I was able to do. And so they're having to sit there watching me waste away. We don't have any answers. In fact, shortly after I started getting treatment and started feeling better, I'd have people come up to me and say, they hadn't seen me in months, and go, wow, you look really good. Are you feeling better? You know, 6 months ago, you looked like you were about to die. I was like, wow, thanks. That's encouraging. Ultimately, it took me four neurologists and about 3 years to get the answers we needed. And that many times during that point, we thought, I'm just losing my mind. I'm just going crazy. If you could scan it, run a test on it, prick it, whatever, it was done. And every single time, we would hear the same thing from the doctor. Everything looks good. Nothing wrong. And so we really were thinking, what's going on? I think 2 years ago, I hit one of the lowest points. I'd gone into devotions at school. And Pastor Mike, who's our campus pastor school, was leading devotions for us. And I'd seen an email pop up from my doctor that I had new test results. I'm like, praise God, maybe we'll finally have some answers. And I opened the email, and there's that sentence. Everything looks good. Nothing is wrong. I cannot tell you how discouraged I was at that moment. I go sit in devotions, and Pastor Mike says, let's sing a song. Let's sing It Is Well With My Soul. And I sat there with my eyes closed, trying desperately not to cry. Because for the first time in my life, I couldn't say that. For the first time in my life, anything, there was nothing well with my soul. We start going, trying to find answers again. We go to a third neurologist, and we're sitting there, and he looks at me and he says, maybe you're just depressed. And I wanted to scream. I'm like, really? Of course I'm depressed. I keep going to you guys. We're doing everything. Something's obviously wrong, and you can't tell me what's going on. I remember going home that evening and sitting on the edge of bed with my wife and just saying, I can't do this anymore, babe. I can't go on. I can't keep fighting this. That's probably the most discouraged she's ever seen me. I was actually beginning to think maybe I am just going crazy. Maybe this is just in my head. And so once again, we have no answers. We don't know what God is doing. I can't do what I feel like God wants me to do. Up until this point, I'd taken great pride in that in spite of everything God had given me to deal with, I was able to push through. I was able to muscle through. I was able to do what I needed to, and for the first time in my life, I couldn't. And I just sit there going, God, what are you doing? Where are you? And it was so hard to maintain hope. There were so many things I knew in my head. For the first time in my life, I couldn't believe. I remember these two verses. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Or in Psalms where it tells us our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. And these were things I knew in my head, but for the first time in my heart, I couldn't believe. So, we go to the doctor. He goes through the months of trying to get me on this medicine. Nothing's working. I'm getting worse. So we go in and he says, okay, I want you to try this medicine. It's not going to work, but it's going to rule something out. So I'm thinking, well, that's exciting. I feel like a guinea pig right now. And so we start taking the medicine, and within 3 days, things start to change. My body stops shaking. I start to be able to use my hands again. And so that presents a whole other problem. Okay, this wasn't so supposed to work, but now it is. I'm not sure if this is good or not. So we go back to see him, and he still won't tell me for sure what he thinks we have, what we're dealing with. And it's during this time we discovered that WebMD really is of the devil. You know, if you have a sniffle, you're dying, according to it. And so we knew that this medicine treated some things that are not great. And so he says, I want to send you to a special clinic. They only take you if we plead your case, and they review it for 14 days and decide if they want to take you, if you're a good candidate. But I think you're going to be getting in to see them. So 18 months ago, we're sitting in my fourth neurologist's office at Vanderbilt. And he's examining me. He's doing all sorts of tests. He's talking to my wife, figuring out what's going on. Spends about an hour examining me. Brings in people. They're looking at me. He's going out and talking to doctors. They come back in, and he sits down beside me. He says, Chad, you have Parkinson's disease. And I just sat there stunned. And my wife will tell you, I didn't even know what to say at that point. 44 years old. Really, God? You know everything else. I've just listed everything else. I needed one more thing to deal with. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And it really felt like I was given a life sentence. I'm sitting there talking in my mind to God. I'm saying, God, I've walked through 3 hip replacements. I've had all these health battles. I've lost a sister to cancer. I've done all of this for you, and this is what you decide to do to me. Really, something else. And then I look at my wife, and I realize she's just gotten the same life sentence too. I think of my kids, and realize they're walking through this now too. You see, I'm the poster child. I'm the one that people check on. How are you feeling? They're the ones that suffer in silence. They see me when I can't get up and when I can't do the things they need to. They hear their dad tell them no, that he can't go do this event with them. And I'm sitting there going, God, what are you doing? What in the world? I couldn't even talk. The only sentence in about 3 hours I choked out to my wife was that life stinks bucket is getting really full. People are calling, checking. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. So she's having to share all the news. She's having to talk about it. And we just rode home, and I was just in silence. And God kept bringing one question to mind. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? And there was a war going on. My head said yes, but my heart was going, absolutely not. I don't feel like I can right now. It was like watching everything crash down around me. I wanted to scream to God, when is enough enough? When do I get a break? When does it stop? Everything in the future, all our plans, everything we wanted, everything we hoped for, gone in an instant. I knew where this journey might take us. I knew all the bad things that could be at the end of this road. And I'm sitting there going, God, I don't know if I can. I really don't. I wrestled with this question for weeks. And over again, the question kept echoing in my mind. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? In third grade, I taught for about 9 years. We went through the story of Joseph. And God brought that story back to mind to me. And one verse that you see over and over again in his story is a few short words. The Lord was with Joseph. And God reminded me that Joseph didn't have an answer. He didn't see the end of the story. He couldn't flip to Genesis and see what was going to happen. He was having to trust God along the way just like everybody else. I can look at it now and go, yeah, I see God's plan. It's easy to trust him, but he was living it. And that was exactly where God had me now. All the illusions of control that we had on our life had been ripped away. And we were left with the question that we should have at any time. Can you trust me? Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We live with this illusion in our lives that we have our future all planned out. We have our retirement plans. We know what our job situation is. We know what we're going to do. Everything's in a nice little bubble. And then life comes along and rips that illusion away. The reality is I didn't have any more or less control over my future than I did 5 minutes before when he told me. But for the first time in a while, I was realizing I really don't. And I've got to trust him. I say all that to just give a backdrop to some of the things that I want to share with you today. Because we're all facing a battle. Every single one of us. There is something now or in your future that will have you at the end of your rope. And the question is will you be able to trust him? It will not be easy. And there will days you will question your faith. The question is, what do we do when we hit those points? So, God's definitely taken us on an interesting path the last 3 years. And there were some things that kind of rocked my thinking as a believer that I had not really thought of before. The first was, it's okay not to be okay. We have this weird idea in Christianity that we just need to skip through life quoting Christian platitudes and just making sure everybody has a smile on their face and always living in this perpetual state of ecstasy like nothing ever gets to us. That's not what God's called us to do. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He doesn't condemn them for being there. He just says the Lord is close to those people. There are a lot of times this last year I have not been okay. Well, I mean, some that know me would say I've never been okay, but that's a whole different issue. But I have not been okay. I've really struggled with this. I've questioned my faith. I've been angry with God. I have doubted Him. I have been mad at Him. God and I have had some very frank conversations this last year. And there have been times where I've been brokenhearted for myself, for my family, for others I've met who are walking this journey too. And guess what? Christian one-liners don't fix it. Sometimes it's not our job to cheer someone up. Sometimes it's our job just to be with them. So the first thing God showed me, it was okay not to be okay some days. It was also okay to sometimes be tired of the fight. You know, God talks about giving strength to the weary and renewing their strength. We're going to be weary. There are days where I'm tired of this fight. There are days where I'm tired of fighting my body. I'm tired of everything I have to do being 10 times more difficult because of the physical limitations I have. Or I have to take another of my 23 pills that I take every day just to keep going. There are days where I get tired of that. But it's in those days where He's going to renew my strength. And He gives me the space to mourn those things. There's also days where you're going to be afraid. You know, we talk about when I'm afraid, I will trust in You. And we focus on the trust part, but the first part says, when I'm afraid. That acknowledges there's going to be fear. We're going to be afraid sometimes. Faith does not mean we don't have fear. Faith simply means we're moving forward, trusting God in spite of it. There's some days where we have all, as a family, entertained our worst fears. And we've gone down that rabbit hole of all the things that might happen. But my faith isn't in that. And so when I am afraid, I will trust Him. It doesn't mean I'm a bad Christian or a bad person. It means I'm human. He also taught us that some days it's not going to be well with our soul. One of my favorite phrases over this last year is, whatever my lot. That's been a hard one for me to swallow. Am I really content? Am I really going to trust You, God, no matter what my lot is, as the song says? But there are going to be some days where it's not well with my soul, where I'm struggling, where I'm having a rough day, where I'm discouraged, where I'm depressed, any of those things. And that's okay. We're going to have those moments. There are going to be some times where I tell God His plan stinks. I know that might be sacrilege. I said that the first service. I didn't get struck by lightning, so I guess it's okay. But how often do we admit this? I guarantee you all of us at some point in our life have thought, God, this plan really stinks. Really? This is how we need to do this, God? And I've had those questions with God this year. I've told Him that I didn't think He ought to do it this way. And He's met me in those places. Some days, and this may surprise you, I have even been depressed. Did you know you can be depressed and still be a Christian? There's a lot of days, my wife will tell you, where I have been depressed. There have been a lot of tears in our family this year. And being depressed didn't mean I didn't trust God or I turned my back on Him. It meant I'm having a hard day. You know, there's people in the Bible that were depressed too. Of God's amazing power, and where do we find Him? In a cave saying, God, kill me. He didn't stop believing God. He didn't stop trusting God. He said, God, I'm tired of being the only one fighting. I guarantee you he was depressed. And sometimes tears are needed. We forget verses that talk about weeping with those that weep. And we're so busy trying to cheer people up and help them experience joy that we forget sometimes we just need to put our arm around them and sit there and cry with them. I can't tell you the number of people that have done that with our family this year. They've just sat with us and cried with us. They haven't tried to tell us it's going to be okay, but they have just loved us. And there are days where God has seemed silent. There are days where, like David, I cry by day, but you do not answer, where I'm screaming to God, and I feel like I'm not getting any answer. Now, the reality is he's there, and he's still speaking through his word and other believers in so many ways, but where I was, it just felt that way. And so, as a believer, these things kind of rocked my world a little bit. Because I thought, how can I be a good little Christian and be feeling all these things? How can I really be struggling with all these things? And the reality is, if I stopped in any of those places, I would have done what that first verse said. I would have despaired. But that, thankfully, those were just pauses. That wasn't the end of the story. There are days where you'll still find me in some of those spots. My family will tell you. They see me when Chet Mikkel's medicine is not working. They see me when I've had it and I've had a rough day. They see me when I'm ready to give up. Or as my daughter says, they see me when the filter has started to come off. And it does come off, right, babe? Occasionally. But I don't stay there because there's something else. Scripture talks about us mourning not as others mourn, not mourning with those who have no hope. And that's what I want to share with you today, is we do have a hope. We do have something more. So one of the first things that God showed us this year is what's really important. How many of you remember the story about Mary and Martha? Did Christ condemned Martha for what she was doing? He simply said, Mary has chosen the good portion. We get so busy about many things that we forget what's important. And this diagnosis really, I mean, it put the brakes on everything for our family. And we really had to stop and see what was important. And I realized a lot of the crap I was worried about, it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter at all. And so, he also told us it's okay to laugh again. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, my family is terrified of the jokes I may or may not tell at this point, but I love Parkinson's jokes. When someone walks up to me and says, what's shaking, and I say, me, and have a big laugh, I love it. My daughter and I picked out theme songs for me. One of her favorites was Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Also like Bill Haley and the Comets, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Shake Your Booty. I don't know if you can do that in church. We've joked that if the milkshake machine breaks at Chick-fil-A, I could stand in. Thank you for laughing at those. I really do appreciate that. We've learned to laugh. It doesn't mean we don't cry. It doesn't mean we don't have a hard time. But it's okay to laugh. And that was something we as a family had to learn again. And we had to learn that our joy was not in our circumstance, but our joy was in the Lord. And that that would help us sustain us as we walk this very challenging path. Because the reality is it can get very dark. The possibilities of me having dementia, or me being in a nursing home, or me not being able to move. These are very real. In fact, without my medication, I can't hardly move. We've had to put everything in my wife's name. I tell her she's my sugar mama now because she owns everything. She loves that joke. But again, to protect her and the family, decisions we never should have had to make as a young family, we've had to make. Which I tell you, as a 40-some-year-old person meeting with an elder care lawyer, you cannot find a better afternoon. It is a lot of fun. But we've had to learn that even with those difficulties, the importance of having joy and laughing again. And then in spite of all that, He is good. You know, so often we tie God's goodness to what's happening in our life, but He is good because He is God. And in spite of everything I can walk through and everything we have walked through, He is good. And I look around and see how blessed I am as a person. So many things to be thankful for. And that perspective really is important. It doesn't mean I'm not down. It doesn't mean that there aren't days where I don't always see that. But this is how I choose to live. And be reminded of His goodness. So as we kind of begin to tie everything together, I like to tie it all into one simple truth that God has really drilled home to us this last year. At times, you'll find us at all at different places. One thing I'm thankful for is on days where I'm really down, God's given my wife the strength to help hold me up, or my kids that same thing. Every one of us in our family have questioned God this last year. Every one of us has been angry with God. Every one of us has had frank conversations with God. Every one of us has struggled trusting Him this last year. And I know we will at other times going forward. But thankfully, we serve a God that's not afraid of those kind of honest discussions and those honest questions. If I end up in a nursing home, if I lose my mind, no matter what happens, He is still in control, and He is still good, and He is God. And so, there have been times this last year we've had to walk this journey alone. Because how many other 40-year-olds do you know battling Parkinson's? My kids don't have any friends that have a dad walking through this. My wife doesn't know any spouses who are walking through this. There have been people that have walked away from us because they just didn't know how to deal. And that can be hard sometimes. The point is, we're all walking through a battle, every single one of us. And I bet some of the things I've said, you either have been at or you're there right now. Maybe you're struggling with God right now. Maybe you're stuck in a place where you're questioning Him. The problem is, most of the time we're looking for deliverance. And sometimes deliverance doesn't come. There's no magic pill for Parkinson's. There's no treatment that's going to cure me. The cells that produce dopamine on my body are dying. Over half of them are already dead. There's nothing that's going to bring them back. So short of a miracle, this is my lot in life. If my hope is in deliverance, in healing, in medicine, it's not going to happen. And you know, in Scripture, that sometimes didn't happen either. In Corinthians, God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul is begging him to take away this thorn in the flesh. And God says, "It's okay. You walk through it. My grace is sufficient." There was not deliverance coming. And so if our hope is simply in that happening, then we're going to be sorely disappointed. If we're waiting for that check or that new job or whatever to get us out of our mess, that may never happen. So where does our hope then? What I tell you today is we can have hope because our hope is in Him. 100%, that's it. Whether a miracle drug comes out or a special treatment or whatever else, I have hope in him, period. One of my favorite passages is in Lamentations 3. I know some might be shocked that I like Lamentations, but I actually think it's a pretty insightful book. Chapter 3 I especially like, especially the first line of the first verse. I feel like it's me. I am the man who has seen affliction. I read that for the first time years ago. I went, okay, yeah. And I read the whole last, I'm sitting there going, yes, yeah, I get this, yes. And he's recounting all the reasons why there's a problem. But verse 21, I love how it turns. It says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And that's what I would share with you today, is he is our portion. And because he's our portion, we can have hope. It doesn't matter what physical state you're in, financial state. It doesn't matter the community you're in, the government we have, whatever. The Lord is our portion, and in him we can have hope. I wish I could say that God has shown me everything and all the reasons why he's got us walking this path, but he has shown us some. In Jeremiah, he tells us that he has a plan for me. God did not stamp an expiration date on me 18 months ago when he said, you have Parkinson's. I can remember asking God, God, are you done with me? Is this it? Am I done? And I know now the answer is no. God is opening doors that I never thought would open. In fact, I've joked with people that right now I have the ministry I never wanted. In the last 6 months, he has brought me, online and in person, 18 to 20 families that are walking the same path that I am. A few months ago, I got a chance to meet a gentleman who just got diagnosed with Parkinson's. He's my age, and he doesn't know what his family's going to do. And I got to spend an hour just talking and sharing with him that there's a reason we can have hope. I've got people that are reading and talking to me that aren't believers, but they're receptive to God's word because we share an experience. And so I go, okay, God, if this is where you want me, then okay. And so I see God just starting to see a little bit of the plan he has for that. And realize that there is a purpose to this journey, one that I might not have expected before. Also, two phrases God has given me, and they're ones we're probably familiar with, but one of my favorites is, but God. I love it because it takes a period and turns it into a comma. In Genesis, Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. And that changes the whole story. Yes, I have Parkinson's disease, but God. And finish the sentence. It can be done so many ways. And so it helps remind us that there's more at work in this world than what we see. About 12 months ago, my daughter and I got a chance to share at the school's chapel. And when we got done sharing, we said, how can we end this? And at that point, they've been talking about two words, even when. And my daughter and I came up with a bunch of even when statements. I want to read a couple of those to you, the ones we came up with. Even when I am tired of fighting, God will strengthen me to keep fighting. Even when our finances are tight. And just to give you a picture, the last 4 years, our family spent $40,000 out of pocket trying to take care of me and my health. even when our finances are tight, He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And He has paid for every single one of those medical bills on a Christian school teacher's salary. He has provided. Even when we don't understand, He does. And He knows what to do. Even when I'm angry at Him, He loves and cares for me, and He understands. Even when I have no answers, He has answers. Even when I'm overwhelmed, He will carry me and hold me. Even when I feel I'm alone, He is still walking beside me. Even when I am discouraged, He will encourage and give me the courage I need. Even when I'm ready to give up, He will be there to support and keep me going. Even when I can find no rest and peace, He provides both. And even when I'm afraid, He is my rock and fortress, my deliverer, and in Him can I trust. And that is what I would leave you with today. Our hope is not in our deliverance. Our hope is not in healing. It's not in finances. It's not in our country. It's not in anything. Our hope is in Him. And that is a choice that we make. And I realize it's not a choice I make one time. Sometimes it's a choice I'm making every minute. God doesn't promise to give us strength forever. He promises to give us strength for today. We can be at peace even when we're walking through struggles because He is our hope. So I ask you, just stop and consider for a second. What are you struggling with today? What are you struggling to find hope in? Are you walking through a battle that's never going to end? Are you facing a mountain that seems impossible to climb? Remember, He is our hope. He has a plan for us, and He is never going to leave us or forsake us. Because even when we are struggling, and even when it is meant for evil, but God means it for our good. And He has a plan to sustain us and walk us through it. So I'd like for you just to take a minute and close your eyes. And I want this just to be a time where you quietly talk with God for a second. Are you fighting a battle that you need help with? Is there something that you are struggling with or some place that you cannot find hope? I'd just like to take 60 seconds just quietly, you talking to God about that struggle. Have the honest conversation with Him. Tell Him where you really are.